Ladies and gentlemen, about one out of every 20 persons living in Wheeling is of African descent. This 20th man is not a newcomer nor an alien, for his ancestors were settled by force in Virginia 1 year before the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock. Nationally, our colored population knows but one country, the United States. It swears allegiance to but one flag, the Stars and Stripes. It acknowledges but one capital, Washington. A brief survey of our local colored population shows that the group has 6 churches of 3 denominations, that it owns real estate worth about $500,000, that it manages 1 fraternal corporation worth nearly $130,000, 1 drugstore, 1 tailor shop, 2 restaurants, 2 billiard parlors, and 2 beauty shops. In the professions, business, trades, and personal service, the group is represented by 4 physicians, 2 dentists, 12 clergymen, 1 lawyer, 22 school teachers, 1 chiropodist, 2 undertakers, 2 social workers, 3 tailors, 4 beauty parlor operators, 2 master hat cleaners, and a large number employed as cooks, maids, waiters, messengers, porters, bootblacks, janitors, elevator operators, chauffeurs, and barbers. Our city government employs 3 firemen and 1 patrol driver. The county government has no man of color in its employ. Generally, the relations between the 2 races in this community have been peaceful and helpful. No serious biracial clash has ever taken place in this city's history, due largely to the liberal attitude of the whites and the splendid conduct of the colored people. But justice and candor require attention to the handicap suffered by Wheeling's 20th man. He has been denied equal school facilities as intended by law. He has been discriminated against in industry by both employer and organized labor. He has no representation on any voluntary or governmental agency concerned with social service. He has been refused employment in civil affairs by both our city and county governments. He has practically no recreational facilities provided by public taxation, though he pays his proportionate share. And our public parks, with respect to certain facilities, are denied to him. The 3 pressing major injustices endured by our local colored people have to do with school facilities, jobs, and recreation. The only public school in the city which colored children may attend is Lincoln. It was built 43 years ago as an 8-room elementary school to house about 252 pupils. Today, it furnishes accommodations for 494 pupils and serves as both an elementary school and a high school. This school has sent out 327 graduates who have gone into the professions, civil service, trades, and personal service. The school is undoubtedly a fire hazard. Its location on the National Highway makes it a danger to life and limb of pupils, teachers, and patrons. The injustice of the whole situation is brought home when we are reminded that if a white parent is dissatisfied with the school facilities offered to his child, he can move into another school district. But if a colored parent is so dissatisfied, he must send his child to the same antiquated, dangerous school building, regardless of where he moves in this county. Plain justice demands that this community should provide equal school facilities for its colored children to prepare them to live and make a living. In industry, the color line has been drawn against local colored workers with a maximum degree of thoroughness. The group as a whole has been barred from employment in our local factories, mills, shops, and stores. The group generally has been restricted to personal and domestic service and coal mining. Employers and organized labor are largely responsible for the Negro's industrial plight. A reading of the Job Want column of our local papers will verify this complaint of discrimination. Apparently, the test is color of the worker, not his or her training, experience, and character. It is therefore urged that both employers and labor leaders assume a more tolerant and just attitude toward their colored neighbors in this community in the matter of filling vacancies or newly created jobs, to the end that colored groups as a whole may have a man's chance in our industrial life. By so doing, our colored citizenry will be able to contribute more largely to community wealth and welfare. For out of every dollar a local colored person earns, his local merchant, butcher, baker, and others in business are bound to get a portion of it. He has no other place to spend it. He has no relatives in foreign lands to send it to, nor any property outside of this country to pay for. For amusements and recreation, our local colored group is restricted to one theater, one inadequately provided and inaccessible playground, a branch of the YWCA, and a temporary recreation center provided by federal funds. This is a hardship not only felt by the adults, but also by the children. For the only colored school here has no gymnasium, no swimming pool, and no auditorium. If you will give our local colored citizens an equal chance, you will have nearly 6,000 of hands to aid you in pulling the community load upward. If you do not, they will pull against you the community load downward. They shall constitute 1/20 of ignorance and crime in Wheeling, or 1/20 of its intelligence and progress. They shall contribute 1/20 more to business and industrial progress of Wheeling, or they shall constitute a veritable body of death, stagnating, depressing, retarding every effort to advance our local social order.